Wow, 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 wow. He's made a way. Anybody glad about that? That there is a way. And man, I want y'all to get excited about this. This morning, 8 o'clock service, three people who didn't know Jesus Christ received Jesus Christ, the Lord and Savior, and they're going to heaven. And I think y'all are getting the point. Now, I want to kind of set you up. I cannot believe that 19 years, Elizabeth has been here for 19 years. And man, how many of y'all found this? Time goes faster than you thought it would. Time goes faster than you thought it would. And here's the deal. I want to kind of help us as a church. We're not leaving. We're staying. We're going. And God's going to do greater things in the next 20-year segment than He did in this 20-year segment. And so I just wanted to warn you in case some of y'all were going, wow, surely Pastor Steve will age out eventually and we'll just calm down, sing Kumbaya, and it'll all be at rest. No. Not! I'm on another mission. I don't plan on gently laying down into the grave. I want to slide in with a collision. That I want to go in with skid marks, baby. Slide in, boom, my race is done. Hand the baton off and it'll keep going. We're about living here. We're about living here at Hillview. And some of you have been here the whole 19 years. Some of you were born here and you're only 19 years old. And you've been in that journey. But you know what? God has done some really neat things here. And the first one is this. He has brought a whole lot of people to understand they can be saved. Now, I want you to know that's our primary mission. And here's why. This is why every Sunday you hear about the cross, the resurrection, and the return of Jesus Christ. Here's why you hear that every Sunday. If you don't connect to Jesus Christ on the day of judgment, you will be separated from God for all eternity and you will spend forever in hell. Now, I want you to know that here at Hillview Heights Church, we don't want anybody in this room to experience that. We don't want anybody in this city to experience that. We don't want anybody in this state to experience that. We don't want anybody in this nation to experience that. In fact, we don't want anybody in this world to experience that. Because we believe in another experience. That there is a loving God who sent His Son named Jesus. He made a way. You just sang about it. He made a way. He just sang about it. He died on the cross so that you and I could be forgiven. Now you say, well, I don't believe that. Then hell is upon you. And so I'm going to ask you to do some things today. Some of you need to get over your arrogance. There's two things that will block you from God. Arrogance and ignorance. Arrogance is I know more than that created me. I know more than that created me. That's pretty arrogant, isn't it? I believe. Well, what really happened? Well, I think. No, what really happened? And then ignorance. I'm just not aware of what God will do. So we here at Hillview would like to suggest that you got to climb down off your arrogance and you got to be informed of what God's willing to do. And I want you to know this sermon today, the moment of the text that we hit, is the key that opens the door to Hillview Heights Church. I want you to look at your neighbor and just tell them this one big word, welcome. Oh, y'all got to do better than that. That makes you, y'all just made me sound like you want to throw me out in the backyard. Welcome. Tell your neighbor, welcome. Welcome, Jones, welcome. Welcome, I'm like, well, okay, hold on. Now, I want to show you the welcome God has. I notice that there are speckles of blue here today. Now, I want you to share with your neighbor a welcome like you would welcome the UK Wildcats being national champions. So go ahead now, welcome them. Oh! Now, listen, I've even had to concede, as you all may have found this out, I primarily am not a big blue fan. And here's the thing. I'm amazed, though. I'm standing in amazement. 29 points. I went, now that's pretty good. Now, I won't tell you what, though. I still dislike Ohio State no matter what. I just wanted y'all to know that. I just wanted y'all to know that. And I was cheering at UK won, and then I was saddened that Illinois lost to Ohio State. I thought, man, I'm going to be able to pound Jamie over there in the morning because guess what Jamie's already predicted? Since he can't win a national championship in football, now he's moved to basketball. And I told Jamie, I said, I tell you what we're fixing to do is put the Old Testament requirements on you. And he goes, what's that? What do you mean? I said, if you prophesy victory and they don't win, we hang you in the parking lot. Because that's what they did. In the Old Testament, if you had a false prophecy, if you said it's going to happen, it didn't happen. They just eliminated who was broadcasting. Well, that'd cut a lot of TV commentators out today, wouldn't it? Well, let's go to the second chapter of Galatians. And I want you to know the reason I wanted you to give a huge welcome is we're going to welcome in the next 20 years the same spirit we've had here the last 20 years. And that's this. Welcome, Holy Spirit. Welcome to the presence of God. The Holy Spirit welcomes people to grace. That's the rhythm. That's something that's caught fire here at Hillview. Here's what excites me. I love being y'all's pastor because none of y'all look alike. None of y'all look alike. You don't act alike. You don't come from the same places. You don't come from the same cultures. It's people being gathered by God. That excites me. I would be so bored to pastor one type of people. Occasionally I'm invited, not constantly, but occasionally I'm invited to come and torture other congregations. And when I go look at those congregations, it's the same sector of society in that congregation. It's just the same type of folks, you know. And what the kingdom of God about is all of us are welcome to the grace of God, no matter where we come from. We're all welcome to the grace of God. Now, Paul and Peter are fixing to have a little argument. In fact, the Apostle Paul is going to call Peter out. In fact, the Apostle Paul is going to get up in Peter's face and let Peter know you're out of line according to the gospel for one big reason. You're excluding people. That's how important this is to God, that nobody's left out. How many of y'all are glad to know that that is a heartbeat of the God that we follow? People don't get left out. Now, everywhere else in the world, we get what? Left out. I mean, it starts in the third grade. They start picking Red Rover teams. And you automatically know deep down inside if you weren't a good Red Rover player. And some of us know how it felt when people went like this. You know something was wrong when after they pick teams, it's you and the other guy standing there. You know what that means? Both of you couldn't do it well. And when they said it like this, we'll take him. And it wasn't like, we're delighted to have him. We'll what? We'll take him. Or, we got her. Or this one. I guess she can be on our team. That is not the way God receives you. Isn't that cool? It's not the way God receives you. God says, I'm delighted to have you with me. How many of you all are delighted to have the things of God with you? I'm delighted to have you with me, says the Lord. Now, Paul realized that. Now, let me tell you about Paul. High credentialed guy. Paul has got clout. Paul has got class. Paul has got intellect. Paul has got cred. Okay? He's got it. He's got clout. He's laid that down to follow Jesus. Remember, here's the situation. The Jews came behind the message of the gospel and they said, yeah, the cross and the resurrection, boom, that'll save you. But you must be circumcised for this to count. Now, church, let's really be honest. I'm not going to pick on the Jews because I've heard a bunch of modern day believers add as much to the gospel as the Jews ever led to the gospel. I told you last week, I've heard about haircut regulations, alcohol regulations, tobacco regulations. And I'm just going to tell you, if you're going to be a person of the book, then you got to believe the Bible. And this is going to make some of you mad. A lot of the stuff you believe is not in there. It was add-ons and not Jesus said. Now, if you really want to live a full and abundant life, you got to live in the Jesus said. And Jesus said all people were welcome. How many of y'all are glad about that? And let me show you what old Peter was doing. Peter got into this because Peter was a Jew. And he heard the Jews talking and said, hey, this, and Peter goes, you know, that might be right. I don't know if we should be associating with these Gentiles. How many of y'all have ever heard this growing up? You better watch it. Birds of a feather. How many of y'all heard that before? What were your parents saying? You run around with hoodlums, you'll become a what? And I always wanted to go, Mom, what if I am a hoodlum? And those birds are my kind of birds. I never said that. Death would have been intimate. And immediate. You know, it'd been impending. What about this one? Don't run with dogs. Where'd y'all grow up? Minnesota? You know, they have like, don't run with, you know, lambs or something. I don't know. You know, sheep. Don't run with dogs. You'll get fleas. You know what people are saying? Stay away from certain types of what? I mean, y'all have ever heard other, and watch this. I was taught that in the church. Taught it right in the church. Don't hang with these folks. Any of y'all have been there? Stay away from those folks. Where did we get that out of the New Testament? What am I losing? Buckner Baptist Church. Huh? Where did we get this out of Jesus? Well, here's what Peter was doing. He was disassociating himself. He was disassociating himself with certain believers because they didn't fit his agenda. Sound familiar? You know who Peter was acting like? Now, please, ladies, don't be offended. Debbie, don't get offended, okay? Y'all ever seen a bunch of junior high girls get mad at another group of junior high girls? You know why they do that? They're junior high girls. Now, that doesn't disgust me as much as a bunch of grown men that act like junior high girls. If you got a problem with somebody, go talk to them. Here's what junior high girls do. They don't talk to each other and work it out. They talk to another group that talks to another group that opposes this other group that gets with this other group, and they have a meeting to see if the other group can be approved to go with that group. And if you don't understand that, I don't either. But you know what? I've seen the church act like a bunch of junior high girls. Instead of confront what was right, it went around the back door. Everybody's all tore up right now. I mean, I don't like it either, but they act like this is a new thing. We have politicians making backroom deals. This would be a better statement. When have we not had politicians making backroom deals? Republicans do it too. And please don't get up in a moral high horse, because here's what I found. Both parties sin. And I'm not surprised by that, because they have people in them. And they have people that know Jesus in them and people that don't know Jesus in them. But you know why they make backroom deals back there? How many backroom deals do you make on a weekly basis? And see, we send people to Congress that are like us. That's the problem. We don't send perfect people up there. We send what? People that are prone to sin, and they lose their agenda in the midst of wanting to please others. This is what happened to Peter. He lost God's agenda in the midst of wanting to please others. Any of y'all ever had that happen to you? Well, it happened to Peter. He said, man, I don't know about hanging out with these Gentiles. You know, my mama said birds of a feather flock together. I don't know about hanging out with these Gentiles. They could be dogs and I'm running with fleas. But I got good news for you today. When you follow Jesus, you can run with anybody for this reason. God knows how to change your feathers. Birds of a feather do flock together, and God knows how to change our feathers, so that we can fly in a different direction. And then guess what God does? He takes away the fleas. How many of y'all are glad to know that God will take the fleas out of your life? Oh, yeah. Yeah, fleas. Y'all ever seen a flea? They're hard to locate, but you know they're there. Why? They bite, they irritate you. Little old, just you go, what? So little fleas irritating you. How many of y'all ever got a flea on you? I know it's kind of nasty to talk about it on Sunday morning, but how many of y'all ever got a flea on you? It was hard to find, wasn't it? Well, hold on. How many of y'all got some nagging temptation that's kind of like a flea? It bites you a little bit at a time, just a little bit at a time. And if you ignore it, what does it become? A bigger flea. See what I'm saying? And the only way you can get relief of that is Jesus. Let Jesus clean you up. Y'all understand? Jesus will clean you up. It's not what we can do. It's what God will do. Does that make sense? That's the rhythm of Hillview. If you're going to hang out here at Hillview, you got to understand we're about God revolutionizing your life, totally changing everything about you so that you might be fit for heaven. Well, here's what was going on. Paul got right up in Peter's face. I like this. And this is just a suggestion. If you have a problem with somebody, talk to them to their face. Here's what I've discovered in our new age of technology. Email makes cowards brave. What is this? If you're going to communicate something personal, communicate it what? Personally, face to face. You young folks, don't break up text messaging. Don't share your intimate feelings on a text. Go and have a face-to-face encounter and say, hey, this is not going to work out. I'm sorry. I want the best for you and I want the best for me, but this dating situation is not going to bless either one of us. Do it what? Personally, face-to-face. Because you know what I found? People say things electronically that they will not say what? Face-to-face. I found that people are braver on Facebook than they are in person. I've also discovered this. People look a lot different in reality than they do on Facebook. Apparently, there are computer programs that can adjust the physical appearance of a Facebook person and the real person. If any of you all are doing online dating, you better be careful. Check the real thing before you make any commitments. It can vary by 100 pounds. Because what do we have? We have what we think we are, and then we have what we really are. And you know what? I say this, glory to God. God welcomes you as you really are. Not as you want to be, but as you are. That's who I am. Someone who needs Jesus. Paul realized only Jesus will change you. Well, here's what happens. He gets up in his face lovingly. When Peter came to Antioch, I opposed him to his face because he was clearly in the wrong. Before certain men came from James, he used to eat with the Gentiles. But when they arrived, he began to draw back and separate himself from the Gentiles because he was afraid of those who belonged to the circumcision group. Now, here's what Peter was doing. He would eat with the what? Gentiles. Until the people who followed James showed up and said, well, I'm not sure you ought to be eating with those Gentiles. Now, here's the glory to God. God excludes no one. Now, that's tough. Here's the toughest thing we've done in 19 years of ministry here at Hillview. Everybody's welcome. You know what's easier to do? Just welcome some kind of people. Most churches I go to look alike. I'm just telling the truth. They do. You know, they're either white church or black church or Hispanic church. And that's not what God had in mind. He did not have that in mind. He said, here are the people that follow Jesus. It is everybody because the point of reference is who? Tell me. Come on. I know you know. Who? Okay, let's go with a quick review. Who brings us together? There you go. You got it. Who saves us?
Jesus.
Who gets all the glory?
Jesus.
Who provides?
Jesus.
Now you understand. How many of us have made following Jesus about something else? We've made it about the kind of people we relate to instead of the kind of people Jesus relates to. That's what was happening in this verse. Peter understood the gospel, but he was discounting the gospel for personal survival. Any of y'all ever done that? How many of y'all have kind of stepped back from your Jesus if somebody was, I've had people, you know, they bust on Jesus and they talk about Christians. And I just tap them on the shoulder and I said, hey, I don't want to be offensive. You have the freedom to talk about Christians as much as you want. But I do want you to be lined up and know what you're talking about. I am a Christian and this is what we believe. So now react from that point. You don't have to agree with me, but you need to state correctly what we believe. Guess what most people do when you call them out gently and lovely and with respect? Listen to what Jesus has got to say. I'm not saying they automatically follow it, but at least they what? Listen. I'll usually do something like this. I said, hey, listen, I don't rip pagans apart, so I'd appreciate it if you don't rip Christians apart. I don't go bash pagans. I don't have any need to bash pagans. They're going to hell. Why should my heart is I want them to what? Go to heaven. Have you ever gotten you know, communication going with somebody that you were taking apart. No. Excluding people is not God's mission. How many of y'all are glad about that? God does not exclude us from heaven. I'm glad to know that God didn't say Jews only. Aren't you? God didn't say Jews only. God didn't say white folks only. God didn't say black people only. God didn't say Hispanics only. What did God say? Everyone who will repent. Now there's your divider. Here's God's message. How will you respond? Those who've repented, Christ has become what? A cornerstone and a foundation of those, their existence. Those who have denied Christ, Christ has become a capstone, recognizing their death. In Christ we live, without Christ we what? We die. And God's desire is that we what? Live. Now you got what we're about here, church. Don't exclude anybody. So Hillview, in the next 20 years, I want to encourage you. Huge welcome. Welcome, world. Come and see what Jesus is doing. Come and participate in what God has for your life. Come and what? Live. How many of y'all glad to live? See, here's the Jesus that I really know. Jesus will dance a little bit. How many of y'all believe that? Three of you. Y'all were real Baptists, weren't you? Now, Jesus had danced, man. He went to a wedding feast. He danced. See, most church folks really never read the Bible. You ought to read it. It's an exciting book. It's not a dry book. It's not a dull book. It's an exciting, living book that says what? Wait a minute. Paul tells old Peter, you can't be excluding these folks. They are brothers in Christ. You know what I love about Paul? Guess what he's really saying? Quit acting like some junior high girl. Quit going over here behind everybody's back. Quit telling them one thing one day and acting out another thing the next day. Everybody's included. I want you to know you're welcome to the kingdom of God. And I want you to know at Hillview Heights Church, I hope if you're new, you've never felt excluded. Now, we know this is a tough place to get around. In fact, I always recommend this. Please get saved before you leave here. You could die in the parking lot on the way out of here. So that's why we preach Jesus crucified, resurrected, and returning. Because we want you to know you got to be plugged into Jesus. Welcome to God's possibilities. How many of y'all need to be welcome to God's possibilities? That ought to be your rhythm every morning. When you wake up on Monday, guess what? God's possibilities are there. Isn't that true? God's possible today in my life. God's possible to reach somebody else today. God is possible. Paul goes on down. He said, you know what? He said, this is the truth. He said, this got so crazy, the other Jews joined in his hypocrisy so that by their hypocrisy, even Barnabas was led astray. They got on a little issue and made it too big. Oh, Earl, how many little issues have you seen the church overblow in your lifetime? And you know what? See these empty seats? They're filled and they're empty now because the generation who heard all those little issues realized the church was lying. Not a lot of people in my generation go to church because they got tired of the baloney that went on in church. That's the number one reason they aren't in church. They got tired of hearing about a loving God and going to a business meeting and watching foolish people rip each other's heads off. They got tired of a 400-pound preacher standing up talking to them about addictions. It's kind of hard to listen to somebody with four chins tell you about health. You know, stay out of that. Y'all know I'm telling the truth. And dude started huffing and puffing. I thought, Lord, he's going to die right here in the sermon. See, we got to get real. We got to get to the real issues. That we all have problems, and the only solution is who? Jesus. So exclude no one, but tell everyone about the hope of Jesus. I hope you find that at Hillview. We're going to love you. We're going to love you and love you and love you and keep loving you. We're not going to exclude you. We're going to say, Jesus got a hope for you that will change your reality. And he goes on, here's where our hope is invested in. Look at the word. Here's what the word says. when I saw that they were not acting in line with the truth of the gospel. Guess what? There's where you want to stay. In the truth of the what? Gospel. Here's the truth of the gospel. How many of y'all believe anybody in this room could end up following Jesus Christ? Yep. Yeah. Me too. You know what I love about Hillview? Nothing is impossible here. Raj, did they guess you, vote you out of your high school book, most likely to be attending church on a regular basis? But God had a plan that you weren't aware of, and He found you in the plan. Isn't that cool? I just want to let you all know, nowhere in my high school annual did it say, most likely to preach. Nowhere. God's got a plan for every one of us in this room. And in the next 20 years, I hope that plan is released more fully than you can imagine. But God would love and touch each and every one of you and use your life in such a way that the glory of God might be an illustration. If you messed up, you need to be forgiven. And here's what I found. Everybody's messed up. Now, some of us are proud. This is what was going on. Peter was proud. He said, well, I've been circumcised. You hadn't been circumcised. I'm not sure I can fellowship with you. I've seen people exclude others over crazy stuff like that. I've seen people so proud. They go like this. Well, I've heard this at testimony times in churches. They stand up. Brother Steve, I'd just like to give praise for my salvation. And I just want to tell you, I have never touched a drop of alcohol since I've been born on this earth. I go, but you have gossiped and slandered about people ever since God gave you words. See, I've never heard somebody stand up in a church and say like this, I just want to testify God saved my soul, but I'm the biggest gossip and busybody that God's ever created on the face of the earth. You ever heard that testimony? We all got what? We all got something. See, we got to get on to all the real issues. What Peter was doing is excluding what God had created. In church, I hope you feel this heartbeat. Don't you ever exclude a human being. Because God made him. And that might just be the human being that the world needs to change everything. And here's what I've found. Wonderful human beings can be located in crazy places. You say, what? Moses, where was his nursery? He was found in the bulrushes and adopted by Pharaoh's daughter. Jesus, where was he born? It wasn't at St. Jude's Hospital, Bethlehem. Where was it? Huh? In a manger. The Apostle Paul, who preaches and says it's about the truth of the gospel, is the same man some 15, 16 years earlier was persecuting the church for the very Jesus that he's now defending? Be careful. You might just be excluding what God's going to use in a tremendous way. So Hillview's a tough church. I just want to let you know, if you're going to hang out here, it's a tough place because guess what? We only agree on Jesus. And there'll be all kinds of expressions of the same Jesus. Some people just can't handle that because why? Well, they'll go, well, I must have my way. And I go, I don't care about your way. I care about what? I mean, that's tough to even hear it, isn't it? Watch this. I really want you to know, if I don't care about my way, where does that put yours? I don't even care about my way. I know my way is flawed. How many of y'all know your way is flawed? If you're married, your spouse knows your way is flawed. They tell you about it all the time, don't they? They go, tell you what, if you don't straighten. How many of y'all ever gotten a waving finger, you men? Let me tell you what, when that finger starts this way to that way, hell cometh. Now, if it's an open hand, there's negotiations. All right, you young guys getting this? Brother, you ever see this right here? I'm telling you. I'm going to tell you one thing. And it's usually a wind-up. I'm going to tell you one thing. You know what that means? There's no other things that will be discussed that day. Earl, you ever gotten a waving finger? Come on, Earl, we're in church. Fess up. Guilty. Cindy, that's a long time. I mean, you know, 60-something years, a man's gotten a waving finger at least once. I'm not talking about the bad finger. I'm just talking about the waving finger. Some of y'all may have got the other one, too, every once in a while. Yeah? In other words, what? I've had enough. You know what God said? I exclude no one. Paul makes a correction because of the truth of the gospel. And he says, the gospel will not leave you out. That's why I preach. That's why I teach. That's why we give. That's why we sing. That's why we love. The gospel will leave no one out. Let me tell you about that building. I'm starting to get excited about that building. Not about the building, but what's going to go inside of it. Guess what's going to go inside of that building? Little people that have gotten left out. And I get real brokenhearted. I want you all to get brokenhearted. I hate it when I see kids being excluded. Because I want to let them know, if they didn't get picked for the team, they did get selected for the kingdom. If they didn't get welcome to be number one, guess what? I want to let them know in God's eyes they are precious in His sight and God's got something glorious to come out of them. Now, I'm a mad, crazy individual. I believe there's no such thing as a useless human being. How many of you all believe that too? You say, Pastor Steve, how can you believe that? You've worked with people that have bottomed out. You're right, I have. But guess what else I've seen? I've seen God take bottomed out situations and bring them to top shelf behaviors. Amen. I mean, that's the Jesus we follow here. So don't doubt what God might do. Now, don't be excluded. Be included in what God's doing. Amen. And God will include you. How many of y'all understand that? Some of you may be saying here, well, Pastor Steve, you need to understand, man, I really messed up. I want you to know that God went further than you could mess up. God goes further than you can mess up. Boy, he's mad at old Peter. Now, let me show you something. I'm going to close up. Paul believed in Jesus more than he did Peter's approval. How many of y'all believe in Jesus more than getting the approval from your neighbor? I will tell you this. I found this being Hillview Heights pastor for 19 years. If you follow Jesus, there will be some people that don't like you. I have several people that do not like me. In fact, I have people that either like me or despise me. I like it that way. You know why? I believe in some things. If you're a loosey-goosey universalist that believes there's another way to heaven other than Jesus, you don't like me. I don't like you either. But here's the difference. I believe you can be saved in Jesus. So I'm going to love you because I believe God made you. Who I believe in allows me to relate to those I disagree with. Because I believe God made you. Amen? I believe God made you. You're not to be excluded. It's okay. I think it's time we have some people believe in something. What do you think? Now, I'm going to close on this. Think about this. Who did Paul confront? Peter. Do you all remember in Scripture, Peter's got a little bit of a temper. Who was the ear-shaven dude at the rest of Jesus? What was his name? This is the same guy. Think about it. Paul is willing to confront a guy that might shave your ear off your head. He knows Peter's got a little bit of a temper, but he said, Peter, it's not about who you are. It's about you better line up with the Christ that is in you. I'm telling you, Harold, the dude, Peter's got a little temper. And Paul has got up in Peter's face and said, you are wrong. Quit walking away from these Gentiles when your Jewish buddies showing up like that they are more special to God than these Gentiles are. You're out of line. We're all saved in Christ. Christ is the glory. Christ is the reason. And we cannot exclude anybody. Now you've got one of the greatest rhythms that's here at Hillview. We don't exclude anybody. Now guess what happens though? I will tell you the truth. I have some of my colleagues that like to whisper a lot. They're a bunch of junior high girls. They'll go, well, you know that church. Here's our reputation. You ready? We let anybody in here. If you've heard that on the street, I want you to know that's true. If you've heard this, we believe anybody can be saved. I believe that too. You know what else I believe? I believe if you give your life to Jesus Christ, you'll be living such an incredible life that it'll be unbelievable. We love black people, green people, yellow people, combinations. We love people from other countries. We love people. Here's our targeted ministry group. If you have a pulse, we would like for you to meet Jesus. So you need to check. In fact, a few years back, all the ministers were doing targeted ministry. Targeted ministry. And so when I'd go to a conference, they'd go, "Pastor Ayers, what's your target for ministry?" I said, "Pulse." I said, "We do not share the gospel with dead people. We have found that dead people cannot hear nor receive the gospel. But if you got a pulse, that's our target. We want you to know that Jesus died on a cross, that Jesus has risen and is alive, and that Jesus is returning, and you get to go with Him. If you repent of your sins and say, 'Lord Jesus, come into my life, give me a new life, connect me to heaven, bring me to your glory,' you will be a part of that loving God." We believe it. We believe it. That's the Jesus that's in this house. He's been here for 19 years. He ain't leaving. He'll be here the next 19. The next 20. He'll be here long after I'm gone. He'll be here doing what? Saying, "Come on. I love you, man. Come on, girl. I love you. I died for you." Paul said, "To God be the what? Glory." Got up in Peter's face and said, "You are not following the truth of the gospel." He said, "Here's why. You're a Jew." He said, "Yet you live like a Gentile and not like a Jew. How is it then that you force the Gentiles to follow Jewish customs? Customs won't save you." And he goes to verse 15. Look at there, 2:15. "We who are Jews by birth and not Gentile sinners know that a man is not justified by observing the law, but by faith in Jesus" what? "So we too have put our faith in" who? "Jesus Christ, that we may be justified by faith in Christ and not by observing the law, because by observing the law, no one will be" what? "Justified." Can I break that down Kentucky style? It's not what you do that's going to save you. It's what God will do in you that will illustrate His salvation. Does that make sense? We're justified because Jesus came. Not because we came to Jesus, but because Jesus, Don, came to what?
Us.
And guess what? I got good news today. Three people have already joined heaven today. You're next. Tag! You're it. You're it. How many of y'all glad to know that in this room, everybody's a candidate to receive heaven? Yeah. Everybody's a candidate to receive heaven. And so I really want you to look at the world like that. The world like that. You know, you go to Houston's or IGA or Kroger or Walmart, wherever you go shopping, you're in there pushing your cart, you know, and you need to, you know, you're going through there, you're looking at people. Guess who you were shopping with? Candidates for heaven. You go to, next week you go to the high school state championship, by the way, Bowling Green High players and Warren Central players. What a game. If you all got to see that, man, good job on both sides. I hated, that was one of those games, I hated to see anybody win because both of them won. I wish we could have sent both of them. What a game. You know what that was caused by? Hard work, dedication, all those kind of things. Those players played. Great. It was fun to watch as a fan to see two teams battle that were so equally equipped. Next week's state tournament, guess what? You get up to Rupp, you'll see 23,000 candidates for grace in one location. It holds more than that, doesn't it? About 23,000, 24,000? Yeah. If you ever go to a Titans game, first time I ever got to go to a Titans game, it's about, they sell out every time at a Titans game. It's supposed to be 68,000 plus people there. I looked at a Titans game and guess what? I thought, man, if I could just have 5 minutes at halftime to tell 68,000 people that they don't have to go to hell. You know what I mean? And I figured some of them by halftime would be loose enough that they'd want to listen to what I got to say. You know what I mean? Kind of pregame. You know what I mean? Yeah. Say, "Listen, I got something better than you got in your hand. His name is Jesus." So if y'all don't mind, I want to thank you all. Elizabeth and I love pastoring this church. It's fun. It's a blessed place. It's a great time. But you know what? It's had hard times and it's had good times. And you know what? I praise God for all of you that have stayed through both of those times. Let me tell you what. You'll never love church unless you go through a hard time with a church. And in Warren County, here's what a lot of people do. I call it church surfing. You know how you do web surfing? They do church surfing. And what they try to do is just create, they just catch the upswing of every congregation in the county. Well, then guess what? You never grow. Because guess where you really grow? It's in valleys. And Hillview's had valleys. We've had low spots and high spots. In the next 20 years, guess what we'll have? Low spots and high spots. How many of y'all are married? How many of y'all have had some low spots? And those of you that hadn't had any, you will. And you know what? But how many of y'all have also had some high spots? It's both packages, man. That's the way God works. Now, here's the cool deal. We may have some low spots, some high spots, some difficult spots, but one day we're going to be spotted by God and we're going to live in heaven forever. When we get there, guess what? No more tears, no more sorrow, no more sickness, and praise be to God, no more taxes. Amen. In fact, we're going to let the senators and Congress and all them boys, they get to sweep the streets of gold for the first 1,000 years, because that's what they've been after all their life, so they can be street people. All right? We're going to live in the glory of God. Amen? All right, y'all ready? Somebody's going to get saved today, and I'm excited about that. Somebody's going to receive God. Somebody's going to come for baptism. Some of you need to just come and pray and say, God, let me live out the life you've given me. It's as simple as that. Let me live out the life you've given me. Okay? Listen, please don't leave here without Jesus if you know that you've never been saved. If you haven't been baptized, the list is growing for Easter baptisms. I think God's preparing a great statement of the reality of Jesus this Easter. There's going to be a lot of folks baptized. You know what I hope? I hope there's over 100 people baptized at Easter. What a testimony to the resurrection of Christ. So if you've never been baptized, you want to get that lined up, man, we want you to get that lined up with Christ. Amen? So Pastor Steve, you talk about that every Sunday. Yeah, gee, it could be important. You also will hear this every Sunday at Hillview. Every Sunday at Hillview. I say it unapologetically, and if you're in a church that's not preaching it, you better be careful. He died on a cross. He's risen from the grave. He will return. He is the only way to heaven. That is the message of those who follow Jesus. That's the reality. You are connected to God and reshaped by God. Please don't change for that. Amen? All right. Let's stand together. One more prayer. I pray for this, for every one of you in this service, just like we did 8 o'clock service. Before you leave this earth, how many of you all are going to share the faith at least with one person? So that when you get to heaven, you might hear this at the gate. Gee, Joe, thanks for telling me about Jesus. I really enjoyed heaven. Or how many of you all are going to walk in heaven and look over heaven and realize that nobody is there that you invited because you never invited anybody? I'm not asking you to save anybody because I know we can't do that, but I am asking you to invite everybody to be saved by Jesus. Simple as that. Cool deal? Y'all been great. Okay, there's some people in here today that need to receive Jesus. If you're a believer in Jesus right now, I want you to begin to pray. Lord, if there are people that need to receive you today, may they be open to receiving you. Some of you need to get baptized. You know it's time to get baptized. Okay, now listen to me. I give you the truth. Some of you were baptized as babies. That's cool. Okay, but listen. I think you need to have a baptism where you've made a decision to do it. Where you've consciously, as an adult, said, you know what? I want to agree with my parents. They baptized you or christened you for this reason. They wanted you to follow Jesus. And you declare, I understand Jesus. I know Jesus. I have received Jesus as my Lord and Savior. And I want to do what He says in my conscious decision and say, Lord Jesus, I want to be buried in Christ. I want to be risen in Christ. And I want to be obedient to what you asked me to do because I believe you've truly saved me. That's why baptism's important. Okay? It in no way voids what you did as an infant. It adds to, not takes away from. You look back at your mom and dad and said, yes, I believe. Yes, I believe. I'm baptized into Jesus. For some of you today, you've heard that you can be saved and the Holy Spirit has convinced you that you can be. If you don't mind, if you'll come forward and you can talk to the pastors here, and they'll be glad and overjoyed to hear that Jesus has changed your life. That's why we live and breathe in this church. I've had a lot of discussions with people. Well, Pastor Eric, do you think you should preach Jesus every Sunday? Yeah. Do you think the church is set up so other people could be saved? Yeah. I mean, if all we're going to do is play music and have a lecture, then go to college. It's more than that. In this moment, God is going to change somebody incredibly forever. So pray with me, Lord. You are greater than we are, and somebody's going to get saved. It may be a bunch of people. We have no idea what you might do in the next moment, but we trust you. So if you need to invite Christ into your life, why don't you just hear him today? Lord Jesus, come into my life. Tell him, I know I've sinned. I know I'm not where I need to be. I know I need you in my life. Lord Jesus, come into my life. Forgive me. I believe you died on the cross. I believe you've risen from the grave. I believe you're real. Lord Jesus, come what? Into my life. I'm sorry. Sorry for where I've been, what I've done, and I believe you to be real. Come into my life. See what happens to you.
Say, oh, Pastor Steve, it can't be that easy. Can't be that easy.
It wasn't. Jesus stretched out his arm and died so that we could live. Jesus arose from the grave. Only God could do that. But he did it so that you could live. Amen? He did it so you could live. If you need to receive Christ, this altar is open to that. If you've never been baptized, this altar is open to that. If you need to come and just pray for healing, this altar is open to that. If you need to come and just thank God for what he's doing in your life, this altar is open for that. But you know what most of all is going on? This altar is open. And so come right now. Don't delay. Don't delay. Don't stand there and stare. Come and say, God, do something great in me because you're a great God. Come on, folks. There are people coming now for baptism, for salvation, for God touching their life. We just open this altar. Come on. It's open. You come and let God touch you in a real way. Come on. Come on. Thank you for coming. Come on. Come on. Come on.